Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for embracing this opportunity to get this important message out. Dominic Ortiz, Ortiz Construction Services, WBEN Radio, host of Hammer Time Radio. Been on Hammer Time Radio for almost 40 years, being the voice of the consumer. Here's a chance for me to tell you that consumers aren't being heard because consumers don't want electrification. I had a listener call the other day crying on the air that she can't afford her electric bill now. And the representative from NYSEG, who I had on the show that day, said, well, we have payment plans. And this certainly may be something that might be convenient, but it doesn't speak to the problem, which is electrification is going to cost more money. And the utilities have to charge us more because they have to prepare the grid that is woefully inadequate. And as a result of that, this can increase costs to consumers who have no choice in this matter, are going to have to bear the brunt of electrification for a policy that's basically failed before it happens. Because the truth is, it's not going to work. This is the United States of America, and we should have a choice. And that choice should be ours as consumers as to what we want to do to power our homes. And we're having that choice be taken away from us. As of January 1 of 2026, a brand new house has to be 100% electric. Now, in cases of a home going into a neighborhood that already has gas, you can have a gas generator. But in a house that's being built with no gas down that street, well, guess what? No gas generator can be installed. Now, let me ask you this question. What's going to happen in the first power outage due to a snowstorm in a brand new house that's 100% electric that has no standby generator? What are these people going to do? They're in a brand new house and they're being frozen out of it. Does this make any sense at all? Instead of going forward as a society, to me, this is a big regression. Because if we can't be comfortable in our own homes, then what can we have? And our right to be comfortable in our own homes is being taken away from us because of the cost of electrification and the mandate of electrification. The truth is, natural gas is reliable, it's dependable, and it's affordable. Natural gas does not go out in a power outage. Natural gas flows 24/7, 365 days a year. You cannot say that about the electric grid. The electric grid is not dependable. It can go out in a windstorm. It could go out if a tree falls on a power line. And certainly it can go out in a major calamity like a blizzard. But yet, that's the direction that we're going in. It's funny. A few years ago, the NFTA was touting the fact that they now had gas-powered buses. Well, right across the street here, we're looking at an electric bus. So the gas-powered buses have fallen by the wayside for electric buses. More dependence on the grid, more requirements for the grid. The whole idea of adding to the grid is one that has not been thought through. And I encourage Albany to embrace this discussion and do something about this before it's too late and before someone is frozen out of their brand new house. Thank you very much.
With that, I'd like to introduce Josh Veronica from Buffalo Niagara Partnership.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Josh Veronica. I'm the Director of Government Affairs at the Buffalo Niagara Partnership. We are the voice for business in Western New York. And I can tell you, this is the number one concern that we hear from our members year after year. Energy affordability, energy reliability, and what New York State policy is doing to impact that and threaten that. And so the All-Electric Buildings Act is just the latest iteration of that. When this was first proposed, it seemed like a faraway idea that was not actually going to happen. But New York residents need to realize what is right on our doorstep, starting January 1st. When this takes effect, if you want to build a new home in New York State with a gas stove in it, because of this law, you are out of luck. If you hope someday to rent a newly built apartment that has a gas-powered furnace in it that will keep you warm during a blizzard, because of this law, you are out of luck. This law will make it harder to develop housing, and the housing we do build will be more expensive and less safe. But beyond making things less affordable and less reliable, this push for mass electrification is not practical. Since 2019, New York has added about 2,200 megawatts of electric capacity to the grid, but it has deactivated over 4,300 megawatts. In other words, we've taken offline almost double the electric capacity we've added over the last 6 years. And the New York Independent System Operator warns year after year that the margin between electric supply and electric demand is getting thinner and thinner every single year. We hear from businesses every single week who are looking to locate or expand in Western New York that they can't because they are not able to get the amount of power that they need to do so. So adding the load of buildings and cars onto an already strained power grid is just not feasible right now. There's also a bill on the governor's desk that would eliminate the 100-foot rule, which is directly related to this. The 100-foot rule makes it financially possible for a new build to get gas service. Even if the All-Electric Buildings Act is walked back, signing that bill and repealing the 100-foot rule would make gas service cost prohibitive anyway. So to her credit, Governor Hochul this year has shown a willingness to change course when the data and the economic realities necessitate it, such as pausing cap and invest and pausing implementation this year of the electric vehicle mandate. We urge Governor Hochul to do so again by stopping implementation of the All-Electric Buildings Act and vetoing the 100-foot rule repeal. And I want to thank Assemblyman Bologna and Assemblyman Kluczynski for the leadership on this issue. Thank you.
So with that, actually, I just want to make one more point here. We've talked a lot about businesses and homes, but I want people at home to understand this goes far beyond that, because like there's also electric vehicle mandates. There's electric truck mandates that are also kicking into effect on January 1st. So this conference, this discussion is about homes and businesses and the All Electric Buildings Act. But this is going to affect municipalities, school districts that are going to impact your tax bill at home. So again, this is one facet of a massive issue that again, I said at the onset, you could give us 3 hours to discuss the every aspect of this, and it still wouldn't be enough. That it is going to leach into every single solitary aspect of New York residents' lives, and they need to understand that. So with that, I'll take questions.
Is there any sort of hope with the governor or Walker?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. So just this week, I saw an article, I think it was Newsday, that the governor has some type of plan or some type of idea to maybe, with regard to the 100-foot rule, sign it, but wait a year for its implementation, which I guess is a baby step. I think the preference would be put a long-term moratorium on all of this. I think repealing a lot of the CLCPA would probably be the best bet. Because look, the market, when I say the market, I mean the stock market, I mean like the housing market, the building market, the vehicle market is shifting towards a renewable energy mindset anyway. So I think the preference would just let that happen. Let the market dictate how quickly we get to electrification. But to answer your question, I'm hopeful. I mean, look, we have a real problem here. We have a real problem on our hands coming January 1st. So unless someone does something, I'm really afraid to see what the result of this is all going to be.
Is there any, hope as far as, Hochul has expressed support for the nuclear
as an alternative to electric, right? You know, as maybe I guess a dual usage.
Sure.
Is there any thought as far as how that could impact things, at least from the supply standpoint?
Yeah, I think that the technology is not quite there yet, but I want to make this point very clear. New York State, and I said this to Janssen, does not have an energy source problem. We have a transmission problem. We have a capacity problem. So you could build all of the nuclear facilities you want. You could build all the windmills you want. You could build all of the solar panels you want. You can't get it to the people. Unless you build infrastructure and transmission to get it to the consumer, it doesn't matter. So I don't care how much energy you have. And I said this earlier. You can have Niagara Falls and mix it with Victoria Falls for hydropower. Again, if you can't transmit the power to the consumer, it doesn't matter.
I think Jowers said it would take this organization alone 25 years, $900 million.
And that's the point. This is going to cost hundreds of billions of dollars for energy companies to upgrade our infrastructure. Again, as I said earlier, our grid is built for like the 1950s, 1960s. It's going to cost hundreds of billions of dollars. And we're seeing the energy companies now put that into rate hikes, which people are losing their minds over. But people need to understand that New York State is mandating the all electrification, therefore is putting the onus on electric companies to raise their rates, to build the infrastructure, and that is why your rates are going up. People need to understand that.
Are you on the Republican side, reaching out to the other side, Democrats, bipartisan? So you look at the real problem here. Can you please come on board with us? Mm-hmm. Put this moratorium in place.
I am willing to. Yeah. I think I could speak for Assemblyman Kluczynski here and everyone up here. We are willing to work with anyone on this issue. I don't care what your political affiliation is, where you're from. It does not matter. We have a legitimate crisis on our hands. We have a legitimate energy crisis that is pending in less than 2.5 months. So I will work with anybody on how to fix this issue.
Is there data out there that shows that those who want to buy a new home, that they won't buy a new home unless it has gas? Is there data that shows the percentage of people? I know you said earlier. Hold it.
Well, it's related to numbers. That's difficult to answer in that manner because it's so new. You got to remember, a few months ago, the public wasn't even aware of this. Our New York State Builders Association conducted a statewide survey. Only about 15% of the people surveyed even knew about electrification coming. So it's fairly new being out there. There's still people we talk to every day that said, "Oh, I didn't know this was happening." I think one of the main reasons they're starting to realize it's happening is when they open up their electric bill and they see these major increases. But to answer your question, we are having people today walking away from deals. They are not willing to have an all electric house. And that's just with it getting out like a whisper. So when this gets more widespread, unfortunately, I think there's going to be more people that want that. I think they're going to look back to existing homes. So they're going to look to the homes that aren't being required to do any of this at this moment. And they're going to go and try to buy one of those homes because they want natural gas. When they look at a new built home, which gives them a lot of benefits, gives them a lot of energy savings in general, the way we're mandated to build under the new code, they aren't wanting that type of product if it's electric. So they're willing to go into an older existing home to get gas, and then they'll look at making improvements for that home. By the way, all those improvements have funding available to them at state and federal levels that are not available to any new build customer.
Well,
it's definitely millions on the impact because, a new home isn't just building the home. When people look at a new house, they see it go up. They don't understand how many people are involved with it. So it's very in-depth. It goes from the manufacturing side to the sub-trade side, and then it goes to the economic impact in the communities themselves. All these people that build new homes go out and buy new window treatments. They buy other aspects for their house that they need, and it stimulates the economy. So when you're looking at an existing home customer, they're not really doing that as much.
I meant to include in my comments the fact that I think this, we talk about the political divide in a state. There's also a geographic divide. Downstate New York is a lot different than upstate geographically. It's also a lot different weather-wise. And I think one thing that's being grossly mismanaged is the fact that heat pumps are reliable. Heat pumps are reliable, but they only work properly to a 30-degree threshold. When you fall below 30 degrees, they lose reliability and they lose operational ability. And again, I think that relates to the fact that geographically, that's a Western New York issue, not a New York City issue. And I think it needs to be paid attention to that if we're going to make people heat their homes electrically, what are they going to do when the power, when the temperature goes below 30 degrees? And they're going to have a supplemental form of heat to make their home comfortable. Does that make any sense?
When you're talking about also that same different geographic considerations, like how about even if you're talking about, let's say, Buffalo, Niagara Falls versus a more rural place like Alma, you know, Olean, that kind of thing? Are there different?
So you touch on a good point. What you have touched on is the fact that the grid is fractured in parts of the state, and there isn't a reliable grid system everywhere you go. So if a new home is being built in a rural area, I don't even know if they'll be able to do this. There's even limitations on the grid's capacity in major metropolitan areas to be able to expand to a 400 amp service, let alone in a rural area.
With that, I want to thank you all very much. Look, we're just, at the end of the day, we're just trying to make sure that people are safe in their homes, that people have reliable energy sources. And as Phil said, he could build a house for you tomorrow that's fully all electric. But it's New York State's failing, the fact that we can't guarantee that when you plug something into a wall, that it's going to have juice. So that's what we're trying to prevent. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.